am going to have a PowerPoint that I'm going to be using the second half of the hour. And so I've asked the guys to just keep the PowerPoint on there. And then when it comes to it, we'll switch that over for the live stream so that people watching online could see it. We want to welcome those of you who are joining us right now on our live stream, Grace Life Bible Church. We appreciate you doing that and tuning in with us here this morning. And those who might be also watching after the fact, we appreciate everybody who studies the Word of God with us here at Grace Life Bible Church. As you guys know, about a few weeks ago, last month, I finished the series of studies on the book of Colossians, and I'm sort of in the middle of some topical preaching right now before we begin another series. And I first addressed, the last two Sundays, I addressed some questions that somebody here in the assembly gave me regarding Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and the issue of confession and the sinner's prayer and some of those kinds of things. This morning, I want to move on from that, and I want to look at another topic. It's sort of related, I guess you could say, but it's not the same exact topic. And that is some things related to the issue of being born again and the issue of being regenerated, okay? So I have a few things I want to say by way of introduction here this morning as we get started. And at some point, I'm going to be pivoting and we'll be using, I want to show you folks some things here, some graphics, et cetera, and I'll be pointing some things out second half of the message. This morning, I'd like to address the subject matter that often comes up among people who are Pauline dispensationalists, who rightly divide the word of truth, who recognize and understand the dispensational approach to Scripture and the fact that Paul is our apostle today during the dispensation of grace. And it's the issue related to the topic of being born again. Okay? If you read with me in your Bible, if you just look at verse 3, John chapter 3, look at verse 3, it says, Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And there's a lot of questions that people have about this. It comes up a lot in dispensational circles. And the question is related to, are we born again? Are you and I today, as members of the church, the body of Christ, are we born again? Is it appropriate? Is it an appropriate descriptor for us to use that term? Okay? Now, as we get started here, a few things I want to say. First of all, my goal in addressing this topic is not to answer any other specific teacher on the matter. So I do not have in mind right now what Pastor A, B, C, or D said about this. I'm wanting to share some of my own thoughts and observations about this topic from the Word of God with you this morning. So I'm not trying to necessarily correct anybody. I'm not necessarily trying to set anyone straight here. Rather, I'm trying to explain how I see some things and have come to think about some things as it relates to this topic. Okay? However, I'm fully aware that if what I'm going to say challenges what somebody thinks, that they will have the perception that I am addressing them or their teaching or their position or what have you. Okay? But any perception of a challenge would be a secondary outcome to this. My goal is primarily to just explain the way I see it, okay, and to explain it from the Scripture. And I've already said it, but the question that I want to address today is the question of, are we born again? Are we today, as members of the church, the body of Christ, living in the dispensation of grace, is it correct to say that we're born again, or is that not a correct thing to say? Historically, I've stayed away, just being honest, historically I've stayed away from using the terminology of born again just because there's a lot of confusion that's associated with it. I do think that in the evangelical world, a lot of people will use the phrase born again. And I'm not always sure how they're using that phrase. And so what I find myself having to do quite often when I hear people using the phrase born again is I find that I have to ask some clarifying questions. What do you mean when you say that? If you say you're born again, like, what is it that you're trying to convey to me? What is it that you're believing? What are you trusting in for your salvation? What are you trusting in for your justification, for forgiveness of sins? And there's many people that are out there in the evangelical world that use this. It's quite common to hear people refer to themselves as, I'm a born-again Christian. Those of you that are a little bit older than me, you might remember the Watergate scenario and Chuck Colson who was involved in that. He went to prison and he got saved in prison, and he got out of prison and he wrote a book called Born Again. And he talked about how, you know, he got saved, if you will, or found Jesus while he was in jail, that kind of a thing, right? And so people will use that terminology quite often, and you'll hear it repeated. So like I said, when I hear somebody use that phrase, I always find myself wanting to ask some clarifying questions. What do you mean? And the reason for that is people mean all kind of things when they say that, okay, that may or may not necessarily be accurate or true, all right? But on the other side of the coin, you have many mid-Acts Pauline dispensationalists who are against any use of the phrase born again. Okay? They're against any use of the phrase born again. And some are empathetic, are really emphatic, I should say, not empathetic, but emphatic in their assertion that members of the body of Christ are not born again. They will emphatically say and emphatically teach that that's for Israel, that's not for us. That's Israel's program. That's not for the body of Christ living in the dispensation of grace. And they're very emphatic about that. Some of them, I would dare say, are even confrontational about it. Confrontational about it both within the sort of Pauline dispensational space as well as with people that they just encounter who will say to them that they believe they're born again. And they're sort of like, all over them on that, and well, what do you mean? And that's not for you, and that's for Israel, and don't you know you're not Israel, and those kinds of things. I've seen that, and I've encountered that myself. Those on this side of the coin, they'll say that no one is born again during the dispensation of grace, according to their position, and they will aggressively oppose anybody, both in the standard evangelical space or in the rightly dividing dispensational space, who even remotely gives an inkling that they use or believe that the terminology born again can apply to us today in this dispensation. So what I want to do is, over the next few weeks, I'm going to be upfront about this. I'm not going to say everything there is to say about this today. I plan on this being a two-part thing, much like the one that I did the last 2 weeks on the issue of Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. This is probably going to take me a few weeks to adequately cover it. But where I want to start in this conversation is starting with the point of what is the rationale for people saying that born again has nothing to do with today? Okay? What is their rationale? What is their scriptural argument? What are the reasons why a rightly dividing dispensationalist would say that the issue of being born again has nothing to do with us today during the dispensation of grace? So that's the first point that I want to start with, okay? And the primary argument here in support of this position for why believers are not born again during the dispensation of grace is simply Paul never uses the term born again. Paul never uses the term born again, so therefore you should not use the term what? Born again, okay? Now on the surface of that, I will have to admit that Paul does not ever use the term born again. He does not use the words born and again. You'll see later in the message, I think he uses an alternative word that means the same thing, and I'll tell you what it is. It's regeneration, but we'll get to that in due time, okay? But it is true that Paul never uses the twin words born again, all right? But it's also true that Paul never uses the word Trinity. It's also true that Paul never uses the word rapture, okay? Now, those are theological words that we use to describe Bible concepts, okay? The Bible uses the term Godhead to refer to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but the word Trinity is not in the Bible. But most people who would have a problem with born again terminology would use the word Trinity or use the word rapture to refer to other Bible concepts, even though those words aren't in the Bible. But we need to understand that the main argument for why born again should not be used to apply to a believer today is one of the reasons is that Paul never uses it, okay? The phrase born again occurs three times in Scripture. Come with me if you're not already there, John 3. Two of those times are right here in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Right there, did Jesus use the phrase born again? Drop down to verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be what? Born again. So two of the three occurrences of the phrase born again are right there in John chapter 3. To get the third one, come over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Come with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 has the third occurrence of that specific language in a King James Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1. And look with me at verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, all flesh is as grass, and the glory of men is as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Okay? So you'll notice there that Peter in verse 22, did he use the phrase being born again? So those are the only three times, come back with me to John chapter 3, those are the only three times that the phrase born again occurs in the scripture, okay? So if you're doing the math, John uses it twice, Peter uses it once. Peter, James, and John are 12 apostles to the nation of Israel. They're the only ones who use the phrase born again. Therefore, born again has nothing to do with you and I, because it is a phrase only used by John and Peter in relationship to the nation of Israel and the little flock, etc. Therefore, you don't have to worry about born again. Not only do you not have to worry about born again, but it would be wrong for you to use the term born again to refer to who? Yourself as a member of the body of Christ. Okay? Now, I'm oversimplifying that just a little bit to make a point, but that is essentially what a lot of folks will say. Okay? So, there are no Pauline occurrences of born again, therefore born again is not a Pauline term. Paul is your apostle. You should only use terms Paul uses. Don't use the phrase born again. So that's kind of the way a lot of it has been described, okay? Now, but let's look a little deeper into that. That's sort of just a surface level sort of stuff, okay? Let's look at it a little bit deeper. You're going back to John 3, right? John chapter 3, verse 3 again. Jesus answered and saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 7, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Okay? So, now we're going sort of at the next level down as far as an argument that folks will say. Well, you'll notice that it says that you are born again. Okay? Born again implies that it's happening a second time, right? That there was a previous birthing, if you will, or else how could somebody be what? Born again, right? And so this is, you'll notice also, look at verse 10, verse 1 first, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So who is Jesus talking to here? He's talking to Nicodemus. Who is Nicodemus? Nicodemus is a ruler in Israel. He's a Pharisee. He's a high-ranking member of the leadership of the nation of Israel. Jesus is talking to him. If you go to verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? So, in the context of John 3, is Jesus Christ clearly, during his earthly ministry, talking to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews? So therefore it has to be that this is all referring to who? It's all referring to Israel, right? Because Jesus, in his earthly ministry, is talking to who? Now, can we deny, in the context, that that is what is happening? Is the Lord Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry here, talking to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and does he tell Nicodemus that he must be born again? Okay? And then does he apply that to all of Israel? Now, I want to point something out here. I'll say more about it next Sunday. But you need to notice something in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Who's that? Nicodemus. Except a man. How many people is that? One. Except a man be born again, he. How many people is that? One. That's the same guy. He cannot, what? See the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. So, is Jesus talking to Nicodemus about individual people? Is he talking to him about individual Israelites? Okay? It says, except a man, one person, be born again, he, that same man, cannot, what? So in order for Israel to, in order for any Israelite to receive their kingdom hope, do they have to be born again? Okay? Now notice though, it is not just national. It is what? Individual. Each individual in that nation, do they have a responsibility before God Almighty to decide if they're going to be born again or not? Okay? Verse, because here's what happens. People want to overemphasize the corporate aspect of this, and they fail to recognize that Jesus is talking to a single person, and he's saying, here's what an individual man must do in order to see the kingdom of God. What must the individual Israelite do? They must be what? Born again. Verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man, singular. So is Nicodemus understanding Jesus properly here? Okay? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he, same thing, singular, enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, Nicodemus, he's the thee, except a what? Man. There it is again. Jesus is saying, except a man, an individual man, be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into what? The kingdom of God, right? So is Jesus primarily in this context talking to Nicodemus about what individual Israelites need to do? Okay? Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Now watch. Marvel not that I said unto thee, who's that? Nicodemus, ye must be what? See, there it is. He's telling Nicodemus that all of Israel needs to be what? Born again, right? Now how, so is all Israel going to be born again? Is some of Israel going to be born again? Which part of Israel is going to be born again? The part of Israel that's going to be born again is the part that is born of the Spirit, right? The believing part of Israel, right? So Jesus is saying, here's what an individual in Israel needs to do, and then he applies it to who? All of the nation, right? Anybody who wants to see the kingdom of God individually, do they have to be born again? And so of those people in the nation that are born again, will those be the group now that sees the kingdom? Now, are there going to be people in the nation that are not born again individually, and so therefore they are not included in the group that will see the kingdom? I mean, is everybody following this, right? But here's what happens. The context is clearly Jewish. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, a master in Israel, a Pharisee. He applies the issue of born again there to the nation when he says, ye must be born again. And so what happens then is, well, this has nothing to do with me. This only has to do with who? Israel. Okay? And in order for you to be born again, you had to have a first what? Birth. And so then everyone goes to Exodus 4. Go to Exodus 4. You cannot be born again if you weren't already what? Born. Okay, I mean, that's just sort of an order of operations sort of thing there, right? Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Verse 22. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. Watch, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, so Moses has been called here, okay? He's objected, and God's sending him back to Egypt now to lead Israel out of Egyptian bondage and slavery, verse 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my what? Firstborn. And so when God leads Israel by the hand out of the land of Egypt, that is Israel's first birth. Israel is born as a nation through the crucible of the Exodus, right? And so Israel becomes a nation because of that. And this is where they are born for the first time, if you will. Come over to Numbers chapter 11. Come over to Numbers chapter 11. So because Israel is born a first time, they are born physically as a nation here in the Exodus period, through the Exodus out of slavery and ultimately into the promised land later on, after the 40 years of wandering, etc. They are the firstborn of God. So therefore, they need to be born what? Again, Numbers chapter 11, verse 16. It says, and the owl and the night hawk, I'm in Leviticus. Where did I tell you to go? Hang on. Sorry. Numbers chapter 11. You guys are all in the right spot. I'm not. My mind is racing a little bit. Verse 16. Numbers 11, verse 16. So here they are. They're finally there. They're at Kadesh Barnea. And the Lord said unto verse 16, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, and thou bear it not in thyself alone. Okay, drop down to verse 24 now, same chapter. Verse 24, and Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. Verse 25, and the Lord came down in the cloud, and spake with him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders, and it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and he said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of the young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses forbid them. And Moses said, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. Okay, now what's the point there? There are they becoming a nation, and is God's Spirit there descending upon the leadership of the nation of Israel as they are standing there ready to go in and to inherit the promise, right? So the idea then of being born again implies a prior what? Birth, idea of being born for the first time. And Israel is God's firstborn. That's drawing a blank. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. The context of John 3 is all a Jewish context. Jesus is talking to a leader in Israel, a master of Israel. He's talking to him about them being born again, and so therefore being born again only has something to do with Israel. And by the way, Paul never uses the term born again. Go to Isaiah 44. Now we know, what do we know about the history of the nation of Israel? How did they succeed, or were they largely in apostasy and disobeying God? Okay? So if God is going to use the nation for the purpose for which he created the nation to begin with, are they going to have a spiritual rebirth? Isaiah chapter 44, verse 1. Notice what it says. Yet now hear, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have what? Chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed. See, the Lord made thee, Israel. He formed thee from the womb. Okay? Which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob my servant, and thou Jezreel, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grasses and willows of waters by course. So notice God says through the prophet Isaiah there that he's formed Israel, that he's birthed Israel from the womb, and now he's talking about how he's going to put his spirit on them. So when we get over to John chapter 3, and he's talking about being born again, is he talking to a group of people that have a history and having been the firstborn of God Almighty? Okay. So look, you can understand why people think what they think about John 3. Are there verses in the Old Testament and in the prophets that say that Israel was the firstborn? Are there verses here that talk about how Israel's going to have to be reborn? How Israel's going to need a new spiritual birthing, if you will? God's going to give them, through the new covenant, what they could not do for themselves under the old covenant. And so we understand that Israel required the Spirit of God there to enter into the kingdom. Come to Isaiah 57. Come over to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the High and the Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble. Now here it is. And to revive the heart of who? The contrite one. See, did Israel need a revival of the heart? Did they need a rebirth spiritually? Yes. Go to 59, Isaiah 59. Go to Isaiah 59. You're already there, right? Or not? You're in 57? Go to 59, verse 20. 59, verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come out of Zion, and shall come out of Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth for how long? So is there prophetic passages talking about a great spiritual revival and renewal that is going to happen within Israel when they receive the Spirit? Okay? Go to Isaiah 66. Go to Isaiah 66. Verse 7. Isaiah 66, verse 7. Before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she delivered of a man-child. So there's a first birth. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation, here it is, be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? So are there verses here in the Bible that talk about Israel needing to be reborn? That God birthing the nation in a day? Okay? So get 2 Peter chapter 1 in one hand and John chapter 3 in the other. Get 2 Peter chapter 1 in one hand and John chapter 3 in the other. So look, folks, can you at least see why there are some folks within dispensational circles who read about the being born again issue there in a Jewish context of Jesus talking to a leader in Israel, and can you see why they think that being born again has only something to do with who? With Israel. Was Israel's God's firstborn? Did he birth that nation through the Exodus? Yes. Did they succeed under the old covenant? No. So does God have to now give them a new covenant where he's going to give them the Spirit, right? And so Jesus is saying to Nicodemus there in John 3, except a man be born how? again. And in the context, when he's talking about born again, he's talking about being born of the Spirit. Okay? He cannot see the kingdom of God. So you can under, and then he says, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And you can see why people think and understand those things to be the way they are. Because they are that way in Israel's program. 2 Peter chapter 1, not denying that in the least. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do they need to be spiritually reborn to see the kingdom? Do they need to be born of the Spirit to see the kingdom? Go back to John 3. John chapter 3, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest, and knowest not these things? So Jesus was speaking to a master of Israel here in John 3, saying, someone is born again today, according to the teaching of some, is taking John 3 out of its dispensational context. So the reason why it is inappropriate to say that we're born again today is because you are taking a concept out of its dispensational context and applying it to a member of the body of Christ, when all of the verses that we just looked at are all talking about Israel and their rebirth, etc. And so therefore it is confusion, it is wrong, it ought not be done to apply the issue of being born again to us today in this dispensation. So, the first birth is Israel's physical birth. When God birthed them as a nation, as his firstborn through the Exodus. That's the first birth, right? Then they need to be born again. So they cannot be born again if they were not already born once. And they were born once in the past when God physically birthed them as a nation through the Exodus. And so now they need to be born again. That's their spiritual birth. So Israel has a physical birth. Israel has a spiritual birth. And only those who are born spiritually will see the kingdom. Is that true? Is it true that only those who are born spiritually will see the kingdom? Yes, that is true in Israel's program. The question is, though, does that mean that we, today, in the dispensation of grace, are not born again? Are not spiritually born, okay? Therefore, being born again only applies to Israel and has no application to the body of Christ according to the teaching of some. Using the term to describe believers today is borrowing Israel's language and misrepresenting who we are today. We aren't born again today. We're members of the body of Christ. Okay? Go with me to 2 Corinthians 5. We are the new creature. We are not born again. That is what is commonly said. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. This is us. This is you and I, according to some. This is our statement. We don't have a born-again statement. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new what? Creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. So what is said is that Paul does not call members of the body of Christ born again. Therefore, we should not call each other or other members of the body of Christ born again. Old things made new is different than old things passing away. That's what is said. And the new covenant, the idea of born again, is not the same thing as being a, quote, new creature. So, the born again terminology is limited only to an Israelite context and does not apply to anybody outside of Israel because we are not under the new covenant. We're not new creatures. We're not born again. We're new what? We're new creatures. Now, you got to be careful. Are we new creatures? Those of us who are saved, are we new creatures in Christ? That's what it says. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, right? Is it true that believing Israel that is born of the Spirit will see the kingdom? So what we have in this conversation is really the following. Are we going to overemphasize the dispensational distinctives and fail to see any commonalities? Or are we going to, now understand, what is, so the religious, by and large, the majority of evangelical Christianity, they just take the whole Bible, dump it into a cauldron, stir it all up and say, woohoo, it's all for us. Right? Now, the dispensational world has reacted against that now and has said, well, born again, that's only this context for Israel. That's not us. That's not our language. That's not our terminology. New creature, that's us. That's what we should call ourselves. When we, the new creature, say we're born again, we're mixing programs and we're creating confusion, and this is leading to misinformation. Okay? Now, some of you, how many of you have heard stuff like this before? Okay? Now, come with me to Titus chapter 3. So is it true Paul never uses the term born again? He never uses the term born again. He uses a different word. Okay? Now, look at Titus 3:5. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Is that us? How are we saved? We saved for by grace, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of what? Works, lest any man should what? Boast. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. So it's not by works. But according to his mercy, he what? So your salvation is not by works. It's based upon the mercy of who? Of God. Notice the verse. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see it talks there about the washing of regeneration? So those people who are adverse to born again, because Paul never uses the term born again, you would think that they would not be adverse to the term regeneration, since Paul uses the term what? Regeneration. Okay? Now notice how that verse reads. Not by works of righteousness. So, you're not saved by what? So that's a negative. The first clause is negative. It's saying how you're not saved. You're not saved how? By works of righteousness, right? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but contrast, according to his mercy, he what? Saved us. What's the next word? By. So now you see the mechanics. How did he do it? It's by the washing of what? Regeneration and the renewing of what? The Holy Ghost. So in the mind of Almighty God, did I need to be regenerated? Did you need to be regenerated? It's by the washing of regeneration that he saved me. So something happened to me through a word that the scripture calls regeneration. So this time, Mark, if you would bring up the tablet, I want to look at some things. So the people that are against born again terminology for the body of Christ, logically they cannot be against regeneration terminology for the body of Christ, because their apostle is using regeneration terminology to describe how we got saved, correct? Okay? So what does the word regeneration mean? This is, well, by the way, I don't know, something's going on with Webster's 1828 Dictionary website online. I could get it to work. It's not working this morning when I was trying to get this definition, so I had to type it out of the actual dictionary. Here's the definition of the English word regeneration according to Webster's 1820 dictionary, and I'll show you some things up here in a second, okay? Here's what it says. New birth. Wow. What's the definition of regeneration? New birth by the grace of God, that change by which the will and natural enmity of man to God and His law are subdued, and the principle of supreme love to God and His law, or holy affections, are implanted in the heart. So if you look up the word regeneration, what are the first? It says, new birth of grace. Huh. What does it mean? New birth. Okay? The definition that I have up here on the screen, this is the Oxford English Dictionary. This is the Cadillac of dictionaries here, okay? Notice what it says. Anglo-Norman, and Middle French, telling you where the word came from. Notice this definition right here, okay? Process by which a being is spiritually reborn. Now, can you see that or not? All right, that's not a good underline. Let's just do this. Process by which a being is spiritually reborn. So what does regeneration mean? To be reborn. Okay, read on in the definition. The formation, so that's what it means in theology, the formation of new tissue or cells, okay, and its antonym, post-classical regeneration, or fact of being regenerated, recreation, process or fact, here it is, process or fact of being spiritually what? Reborn. What does regeneration mean? It needs to be reborn. Interesting. Notice this definition. The action of coming or bringing into renewed existence, recreation, rebirth. So what does regeneration mean? It means to be rebirth. It means rebirth. Okay? Now, because I want to just be a nerd about this, look at the next one. Here's definition number 2A. The process or fact of being spiritually reborn. Okay? The state resulting from this. So somebody who has been regenerated, have they been spiritually reborn? By definition of what the word means. Okay? And then we have the Middle English Dictionary. So we can go all the way back to the 1100s, folks, and we can see right here that the second meaning is spiritual what? Regeneration. Of the word regeneration. So does this word have a hundreds of year history being used to the process of spiritual rebirth? And then we could also go to the online etymological dictionary. Notice this, regeneration. The act of regenerating or producing what? Anew. Originally what? Spiritual, also of the resurrection. And then look at this right here. A being born what? Again. What's the word mean? A being born again. Noun of action from the past participle. Okay, I know this gets all real interesting, but look again. To make over, generate again, re again, bring forth, begat, produce. Okay? And then it talks about in the biological world, genus, race, species, kind, etc. And then obviously species produce after their own what? Kind. Okay? That's the concept there. And then look. Originally theological, radical spiritual change of an individual accomplished by the action of God. It can also be used to refer to animal tissue, the power or process of growing again. And this is dating from the 15th century, the 1400s. So when you hear the word, when you read the word regeneration, what does the word regeneration mean? Born again. But you say, The King James Bible uses the word regeneration. If they wanted to use the word born again, they would have used the word born again. Well, what does the word regeneration mean? It means born again, right? But we could go, I'm glad you asked, because we could look at William Tyndale. Titus 3:5, William Tyndale, notice what it says. The fountain of new what? When William Tyndale translates out of the preserved Greek, how does he render the verse in English? New birth. We could look at the Coverdale Bible. Look at that. New what? New birth. We could look at the Matthew's Bible. Look at that. New what? New birth. We could look at the Great Bible. New birth. We could look at the Geneva Bible. New what? What does this underlying word mean? It means new birth. Now let me ask you a question. Is there a difference between new birth and regeneration? Regeneration means what? New birth. So, look at Titus 3:5. By the washing of what? Regeneration. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost. How were you saved? You were saved by the washing of regeneration. The word regeneration means what? New birth. Did you and I need a spiritual rebirth? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. Where we go there. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. Were we born into this world dead in trespasses and sins? I'm not quite done, Mark. I got one more thing. I have a few more things here in a second. Were we go to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. And you hath he what? Okay, come on guys. What does quicken mean? Made alive. So if you need it, so he quickened you because you used to be what? Dead. You weren't dead physically, you were dead what? Spiritually. So did you need to be regenerated spiritually? Did you need spiritual rebirth? Okay, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritually, you were dead as a doornail. You were alive and living and breathing in your physical self, but were you spiritually dead as a doornail until you trusted the gospel? And when you trusted the gospel, who came inside you? The Holy Spirit. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's who you used to be. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Folks, if you died in your natural state, would you have had the wrath of God abiding upon you? So what did you need? Did you need to be regenerated? Did you need a new spiritual birth of God the Holy Spirit? And does Paul say in Titus chapter 3 verse 5 that you were regenerated? And the word regenerated means to be born what? Again. So, am I born again? No, I'm regenerated. With the caveat understanding that regenerated means to be what? Born again. Was I dead as a doornail and needing spiritual life? Yes. Now come back with me. I only have a little bit of time left. I'm not going to have time to say everything about this I want to, but I told you that at the beginning. Go back to John 3. So we can look at every known dictionary that traces the development of English language all the way back to the 1100s and see that the word regenerated means what? New birth, to be born again. We could look at the translational history of the preserved Greek and see that Tyndale, Coverdale, Matthews, Great, and Geneva all rendered the verse what? New birth, okay? It's not till you get to the Bishop's Bible that they stop using the phrase new birth and start using the phrase what? Regeneration. But regeneration means what? New birth. Six of one, half a dozen of another, right? Different way of saying the same thing. Unless you want to be superstitious about the Bible. Okay? But does that word regeneration mean new birth? I've showed you in all of these dictionaries that that's what it means. We looked at it in the online etymological dictionary. We looked at it in the Middle English Dictionary. We looked at two definitions from the Oxford English Dictionary. All of them say it means what? It means a spirit to be spiritually reborn. The process or the act of being spiritually reborn. The action or coming in or becoming renewed. Rebirth. Whoops, not what I wanted. We also saw, again, spiritually reborn or the state resulting from it. Folks, I'll tell you what, I'm glad I'm regenerated. I'm glad I've been reborn. And now that I'm reborn, now that I'm regenerated, am I a new creature? Hello? How did you become a new creature? You became a new creature by being what? I don't understand why this is hard. Okay, now, some of you don't realize, a lot of people are going to be mad at stool pigeons at me for this message, okay? John 3 is where I told you to go, right? This is John 3, verse 3. Notice, John 3, 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see what? Now, up here I have a picture of the interlinear from the Blue Letter Bible. I want you to notice something here, right? You see this English word here, born? You see that? Do you see that there's a corresponding word in Greek? Do you see that the word again is a translation from a different what? Two different Greek words there, right? So the word born comes from one Greek word. The word again comes from another what? Greek word. Now notice that the Greek word here that is associated with born is 1080. Number, Strong's number, 1080. Everybody see that right there? I love all this. I'm telestrating. This is fun. Everybody see that? Now, go to 1 Corinthians 4. The same word that is translated born in John 3 shows up in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Notice, for though ye have had 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, Paul says, I have what? Begotten you. That word begotten is 1080. That's the same word that's translated born, right? So let me ask you a question, right? Look at what that verse says. That verse says, yet have ye had not many fathers, but in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through what? So no doubt that verse means that Paul is the physical father of all the Corinthians. Right? No. You all think that's wrong, right? So what does it mean then? How has he begotten them? How has he born them? How has he birthed them? He birthed them and born them through the preaching of the gospel, and when they trusted Jesus Christ, were they born of Christ? Through his ministry. So were they born again? Were they alive physically before they believed the gospel? Did Paul begat them through the gospel, spiritual life, through Jesus Christ, that they did not have before they encountered that message and believed it? And then you have the same thing there in Philemon. Go to Philemon. Were the Corinthians alive physically before they heard Paul's gospel? Yeah. How were they reborn spiritually? They were reborn spiritually through the gospel of Jesus Christ when they believed it taught. What does Paul call Timothy? He says, my own son, after the common faith. Who's responsible? Who is responsible for the conversion of Timothy? Who brought Timothy the gospel? Paul. Philemon verse 10. Notice, Philemon verse 10. I beseech thee, talking to Philemon, for my what? Son. Question. Is Onesimus the physical son of Paul? No. But he's beseeching him here, for my own son Onesimus, whom I, Paul, have what? Begotten in my what? Was Onesimus born again? Was Onesimus begotten through the preaching ministry of Paul? And where he used to be dead, did he receive life? Yeah. So folks, I don't have a problem. Look, I understand. I totally understand. Is there a specific dispensational context? You can take it down now, Mark. Is there a specific dispensational context in John 3? Sure there is. But does that mean that it's wrong to refer to yourself today as born again? If you want to say, look, if you don't like it, fine. I'll just say I'm regenerated. And we'll leave it at that. Knowing full well that if I say I'm regenerated and I believe I'm regenerated, I believe that I have received what? New birth. Let's not be so quick to draw distinctions that we fail to see the connections. Does the word need to be rightly divided? Yes, absolutely. Is dispensational Bible study the only thing that illuminates and helps you to understand the scripture? Yes, it is, because that's the way God wrote the scripture. He said that's what he did. But can we sometimes make distinctions where we ought not, and we should be seeing some connections instead of distinctions? Folks, I don't care. Go back to John 3. And I'll just end with this. And next Sunday we'll talk a little bit more about this. If you're going to say that what I've said here is wrong, you have to show me where regeneration doesn't mean what I've proven over and over and over again this morning that it means. I've given you evidence from dictionaries. I've given you evidence from the translational history. I've given you evidence from the usage of the word born in Scripture and Paul begatting people that he was not the physical father of. The only way that's possible, if there's a spiritual birthing taking place through the gospel, when the lost man hears it, believes it, and trusts it for his eternal salvation. John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man, singular, a man, be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Does Paul talk in his epistles about the kingdom of God in mystery form? Yeah, we've talked about that before, the kingdom of God in Pauline theology, right? Can you see the kingdom of God today without being regenerated? No. So is there a principle here that would apply to participation in the kingdom of God regardless of which program you're in? You have to be spiritually what? We'll talk about that next time. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We're grateful for these saints and for your word this morning. We pray that it'll have free course and that people will think carefully about what's been presented, et cetera, if it's maybe a different way of thinking about it. We're grateful for the time we could spend together in your word. Lord, we just pray that what we've done here this morning will bring light, not heat.